Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
St. Paul left off last week by saying, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them, your opponents, of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God." He is going to build now upon that being of one mind and one spirit. And just as our Lord, when he reinstates Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, after Peter does not mention that he is a follower of Jesus, where he denies Jesus three times, just as our Lord asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you. And if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me," Jesus says, "tend to my sheep." If you love me, feed my sheep. So now Paul is going to point out, if you love Jesus, then be about these things. Have one mind, one spirit. So if there is any encouragement in Christ to do so, and there is, and if there is any comfort from love that we have received in Christ Jesus, and there is, any participation in the Spirit, and there is, any affection and sympathy, then complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. This does not mean he wants them to be robots, that he wants them to think about things in the exact same way or respond to things in the exact same way. What he wants is to have them focused singularly on the same things, to be united in their way of thinking and in their way of operating, that they don't do anything from selfish ambition or for rivalry, but that they have the mind that has been given to them in Christ Jesus to think of and put others ahead of themselves. Which is why he teaches them then this doctrine. That Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be stolen or robbed. It was Jesus's by right, because he is the Son of God. So though he is God, he humbled himself. He causes himself to be humiliated, to humble himself among us. He empties himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So even though he is God, and everything that pertains to God belongs to him, he sets it all aside and empties himself in order to be born of a woman, to be born in the form of man, just like us. He sets aside his almighty power as God in order to be a man. He sets aside his omniscience as God in order to be born and be found in the likeness of men. Everything that you can think of, omnipresence, that belongs to God, he sets aside and humbles himself in order to be found in the form and likeness of us. But that's not all. And being found in that human form, St. Paul says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to his Father and his Father's will to the point of death, that he willingly set aside his eternal life because of his obedience to his Father. And not just any kind of death, even death upon a cross. Not the death of kings, not the death of important people, but the death of slaves and criminals, whose bodies are cast out onto the dung heap after they are dead. He humbles himself. Have this mind among you. Like Jesus to Peter, if you love me, feed, tend. If you love me, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, to humble yourselves, to put others' needs before yours. And here he is talking about the other Christians in Philippi. He's talking about the people that sit next to them in church or across the way, those who go to Sunday morning or even Saturday night services. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, to put them before you. And because he has done this, Jesus, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, that is, shall bow, it will happen, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There is no place left out where there are people whose knees will not bow, in other words, to the name of Jesus when he comes back. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What St. Paul is alluding to then, for these Christians at Philippi and even for us in our day, as we deal with all of the problems that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks that the people in Philippi had been dealing with and that we ourselves deal with even now. That in that humility, having the same mind as Jesus, just as Jesus has been highly exalted, you can have every confidence that you will be also. Therefore, he continues, since this is the case, in other words, since it is the case that you love Jesus and you will have this mind among yourselves and God will exalt you at the end, therefore, as you have always obeyed, as you have always listened to and clung to and held on to the word and promises of God, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, keep on keeping on. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God does the work. God performs all good things in his Christians. And he urges them then unto true obedience. And believers, Christians, demonstrate their faith by doing these good works, the works that God has laid out for us in his word. And that requires both the will to do it, that is, the want, and then the actual carrying out of it, the changing of the will into the action. And we are to do this, he says, without grumbling or disputing or questioning. Is it really necessary that we do all these things? When will I really use this in life? This seems like kind of an abstract doctrine. Do I really need to learn this? Is it really a Christian's duty to do all of these things and to be mindful of them? Is it necessary to be so scrupulous about following God's word in every facet of our lives? Or can we just set aside these times and these days for doing it? Yes, do it without grumbling or disputing about it, but gladly in obedience for the joy set before you, as our Lord has done, for you have this mind in Christ Jesus, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, and you might be a light to the world. That what those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, those who do not believe, those who do not know Jesus, as they see you living out your life, having that mind, the light has shined upon them. When they see that you do it without grumbling or without disputing and carrying on, that they say, wow, what does he have or she have that I don't have? That they see the joy and the rejoicing that you have because of what God in Christ Jesus has done. And though it might be humiliating for you to do these and carry these things out now by humbling yourself, exaltation awaits. Glory awaits. And that should make you smile. That should, in fact, make you laugh. Perhaps even giggle a little bit. That God loves and cares for you so much that he has told you all about the things that he wants you to do and what he's going to do for you because of Jesus Christ. All of these things are laid out for us in our catechisms in the table of duties. And we do well to pay attention to them. That we would be about these things, seeking without grumbling or disputing, but with joys and smiles and laughter, carrying out the things that he has set us to do in this world for the light of the world and the joy of the glory of the world to come. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.